When I was a kid, and certain words or certain phrases would slip through my lips, my father particularly, my mother at times, but my father particularly would wash my mouth out with soap. Now, I'm not advocating that. Please understand, I don't want it to come back to me. Pastor Bill said I'm to wash your mouth out with soap. No. Okay. But it makes me wonder what we use today to be able to teach the lessons of the ramifications, the consequences of the words or the thoughts that come out of our mouths. What is there today that we use for that? To be able to help bring the message across that words have consequences. They truly do. James' goal, we've been working with James for several weeks now. And James' goal is to lead his readers to full maturity in Christ. That's really what this whole letter, this whole epistle is about. So that their whole being, all that they say, all that they do, really reflects the image of God. And this is the ideal that he's holding up for us, that we should be striving for that. He acknowledges today, you know, we're human. It's hard to do these things. But if we don't try, then we can never, never achieve. This whole idea of spiritual maturity in Christ runs through the entire epistle. We saw in the first chapter how spiritual maturity develops through our response to suffering, how that frames us and focuses us and helps us to really understand who we are to be. That as we suffer, we need the strength, the power of God to be able to not only pull through and survive, but to thrive as well. Last week we talked a bit about how James says that spiritual maturity is enhanced by how we respond to the Word, not just being believers of it, but allowing it to change us, allowing it, and there's the C word, okay, change, allowing it to change us, allowing it to remold us more completely into that image of Christ. So being doers of the Word and not merely hearers of it. And today, he continues this idea that spiritual maturity is evidenced in how we use our tongue, how we choose to use our words, or maybe not. It's my observation that in today's society, we value fast speech. Speaking quickly, speaking glibly, just getting the words on our lips and getting them out as fast as we can, that's really important. And people listen to that. You just changed. You just changed as I increased my speech. And I saw how all of a sudden you were drawn in to the speed with which I was talking. Be careful. Because when we are receiving information faster than we can process it, it just hits us. It hits us. And we don't process, we're just moving to the next thought. So if I am saying something to you and I just talk so fast, you are struggling to hear what I'm saying and absorbing it without reflecting upon it. Same thing is true as it leaves my mouth. If I am not stopping, interrupting my speech, and thinking about what's going to come out of my mouth first, anything is likely to come out. Now, there was something else that I heard when I was a kid, and I wanted to spell it. The phrase went something like this: sticks and stones may break my bones, but yeah, they do hurt. Yeah, they do hurt. They hurt terribly, and they hurt deeply. And physical wounds that we have will heal, but there are things that I will carry with me, words for the rest of my life, and possibly for you too. Things that you have heard, or things perhaps that you have said that you wish you could just bring back. Words hurt, but words heal as well. Words are powerful, and they matter. They matter. In our society, we often don't take time to choose our words, to choose our thoughts. We just want to fill the space with something. And because of it, there's a lot of harm done. But we need to realize that there can be a lot of healing done through it as well. James points that out today. He talks about, in the case of a horse, this large animal, so powerful, being able to be directed by a simple pull on either side of the mouth. Just a small motion. Anyone who's ridden horses know what happens if you jerk hard. What happens? Oh yeah, they'll stop. Or they will turn on a dime. And it's horrible. So you ride a horse, you direct a horse very gently. Very gently. Same with the ship. The largest ship has a small rudder. And these monsters can be turned with just a slight movement of this small piece of wood or metal. The impact is huge to this small moment. And so it is with our tongue. One word, one slip, one ill-begotten thought that comes out of us can have impacts that we cannot even conceive of. There have been times in my life I've said things, and as soon as that word left my mouth, I just wanted to grab it and bring it back. And guess what? I can't. And neither can you. When that happens to us, in that moment, even if we had good intentions and we realized that, oops, we've turned the ship. We've redirected that horse. We see this now more than ever, evidenced in our society through bullying. It's epidemic within our schools. Kids who are intentionally or not causing harm to their fellow children. Not all of it has to be of mean intent. It can be repeated diminishment of someone just because we think differently about them. And how we think is often expressed through what we say. And so our true feelings, our true thoughts, oftentimes they slip out. And because we're moving on to the next thing, maybe we don't stop and see the impact that they had. Bullying doesn't just happen between children. Bullying happens between adults as well. It happens when we think we're so right and no one else can be right. It happens when we don't think about the impact of what we're saying on those who are hearing. It happens when we start talking so fast that we forget to stop, we forget to interrupt and say, what am I really saying? It's hard. It's hard. And James acknowledges that. The tongue cannot be tamed. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. One other thing he says in the spiritual nature is that with this one tongue, we bless God, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. Catch that. With the same tongue, we bless God. And then within an hour, we're diminishing our brothers and sisters in some way. How in the world can we do that? The answer for that is we're human. We're human. But we have the choice to try every day not to do that. We have the ability to place before our speech an interrupt, where we can really stop and think, where we can take a moment and pause and maybe ask ourselves three questions before we speak. Is this going to do harm? Is this going to be harmful to someone or something? And then ask, is this going to have a good impact? Is this going to further relationship? Is this going to help us to be able to improve our communication? Is this going to make me feel, as the speaker, that the hearer will value it? And then the third thing we might want to interrupt this pattern of just letting words slip out might be to say, is this going to help us to become more in love with God? Is what I'm saying going to help them see Christ in me, in what I do, what I say? Or not? Well, if we answer those three questions, and we get it's, I don't think it's going to be harmful in my heart of hearts. I really think it's going to be good to say this. And I hope that this brings us into a closer relationship with God and each other. Then we should say it. And we should say it to each other in love. And that doesn't mean we're always going to be nice. Jesus said some tough things. But I think if you look at his witness, you'll find that in each one of those cases, you can see that he didn't say it to do harm. He was trying to bring good. And he was really trying to bring everyone closer in relationship to God. I mentioned a couple minutes ago that this tongue that we have can also be used to bring healing and to be able to spread love. It can be the most powerful tool for reconciliation that we have. It is something that we shouldn't avoid using. We just need to make sure we're using it for the right purpose and with the right motivation. Someone after the early service approached me, and I want to share this with you, and said, we're experiencing more and more of this in our homes, this abusive tongue. Whether it's spouse or spouse or partner to partner to each other, whether it's parent to child or child to parent, we're experiencing abuses of the gift of our tongue. As followers of Jesus Christ, we owe each other better. We really do. And we need to value each other and love each other and show it to each other in all that we say and do. We need to work toward healing, reconciliation, and binding of the wounds which we have through the use of this amazing gift. And just stopping and asking, is this going to harm something? Is this going to do good and bring good into the world? Or Is this going to bring us closer in relationship to one another and to God? So I think James's words for us today are timely. And I think that as we receive them, we shouldn't feel beaten down in our hearts. We should feel encouraged to use them in ways that brings the love of God into our midst. So this week, Valerie, I give homework, so that's just me. Okay. This week, I want you to catch yourself. I want you to catch yourself maybe on the verge or in the midst of saying something and interrupt yourself. Just put that interrupt in there. And then ask yourself those three questions. And then either go forth and say it or bridle yourself and just pray. Pray for yourself and the thoughts that brought it forth. And pray for the individual that you feel you need to speak to so that you can do it in a way that's going to help and heal. So, again, I just want to finish. This is a public service announcement. Do not wash your kids' mouths out with soap and tell them that Pastor Bill told you to. Okay? But please, find your own interrupts. And use this tool to build the kingdom of God every day. Amen? Amen. Amen.